First John chapter 4, please. First John chapter 4. We continue our journey through First John. So who can remind me the most prevalent word in First John is? Anybody remember? Love. 46 times in First John. Second most prominent word, remember we talked about last week, was know or knowledge. It's a great epistle, and chapter 3 was exciting and enjoyable. And we were reminded last week that we can have the assurance of our salvation and assurance of answered prayer as we're walking with the Lord. But tonight, John changes directions a little bit here in chapter 4 and gives us a bit of a warning about false doctrine, because all believers are going to face it. And especially as we get into the last days, it's only going to get worse. Notice beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist which ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." So to try the spirits is our title this evening. Let's pray. Lord, pray for your wisdom, your presence. As you open your precious word together this evening, I pray you teach us and change us through it, Lord. And may we leave truly saying it was good to be in your house on a Wednesday night. Lord, we commit this service to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John is warning us there in verse 1, try the spirits. There is going to be false doctrine. Yeah, we have a visitor. Swallow, it looks like. There's going to be false doctrine. And if you go to Ephesians 4, Paul told us that it would try Christians. And it's up to us as Christians to try the spirits, to compare the doctrine that we hear with none other than God's Word. It is our responsibility to compare what people are trying to teach, what we hear, with God's Word. That's why in a Bible-believing church, all teaching and preaching should be straight from the Bible, so that people can compare it and make sure that what's being taught and preached is consistent with God's Word. Otherwise, you end up with cults. And we'll talk more about that. So notice Ephesians 4:14, the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So God says that it's our responsibility as Christians to what? Grow up. To not be children anymore. But to grow up so that when these every wind of doctrine comes around, it doesn't lead us astray, it doesn't confuse us, we're ready. Another passage, 2 Timothy 4, if you would turn there, verse 3. This is a warning about the last days, which we find ourselves in. And I want you to notice that the word doctrine is mentioned. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." I think we would all agree we are in that time, where the last thing people want who go to church is to hear doctrine. Now, they do want to get excited and they do want some emotionalism and some entertainment, but they definitely don't want doctrine. So we're in that time. God says the spirits must be tried because the doctrine, the false doctrine, is going to be out there and it's going to be all around us. Go to 2 John now. One more verse about this and we'll move on. But this is a good reminder to us as Christians. And I've told many people this over the years, and some people think it's kind of silly, but I think the word is pretty straightforward, that we're not supposed to let them into our home. Notice 2 John verse 10, it says, "If they're coming into you and bring not this doctrine," what's it say? "Receive him not into your house." Well, that's pretty straightforward. Now, I'm all for witnessing to the cults when they come to the door, and I do. But I do it on the doorstep, because I'm not going to let them into my house, because God told me not to. He says in verse 11, "For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Don't let them into your house. Don't bid them Godspeed. In other words, if a cult comes to your door and tries to spread their false doctrine, you don't send them off with "God bless you." They're going to hell, and they're trying to lead other people to hell. So we don't need to bid them Godspeed. We need to tell them the truth of God's Word and trust that the Holy Spirit can speak to their hearts. But there will be false doctrine, and as we read here, there will be false prophets, as we read in 1 John 4:1. Many false prophets. If you go to Matthew 7, Jesus warned us as well about false prophets. People who are preaching things outside of the Word of God. There are a lot of Christian groups today who believe that prophecy is still alive. And you've heard me say this, if that were true, then the Bible is not finished. Because when a person stands up and says, "Thus saith the Lord," and they claim that God is speaking through them, that is just as authoritative as the Word of God as what we're reading in our King James Bible. Because they are claiming that God is speaking through them just like He did the prophets. Jesus says, Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." There will be false prophets. Matter of fact, John says many, many false prophets are going out into the world. And that was 2,000 years ago he wrote that. It's only gotten worse. You think about the major cults today, which we're going to be teaching a class on the cults in this next term of the Bible college. But if you think about the major cults, think about when most of them began. Most of them are young compared to 2,000 years. The Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, we could go on and on. They're all young, 150 years or so. So we're in the last days where it's just more and more false prophets, more and more false teachers. So it's up to us to try the spirits. To try the spirits. Now, speaking of spirits, the charismatics tend to overemphasize them and see an evil spirit in pretty much everything. But we are to be careful because there are some certain things mentioned. If you go to Acts 16:16, I just want to quickly point out that there are some specific spirits mentioned in the Bible. And the first one here, Acts 16:16, I'm just going to do these in scriptural order quickly, is it says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination." So there's a spirit of divination. I think that spirit's still alive today because we have a lot of people, again, claiming to have the power to speak for God. And that would be the spirit of divination. Then also in Romans chapter 8, if you want to turn over there, verse 15. The Bible says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now notice spirit of adoption is capitalized because that's the Holy Spirit who adopts us into God's family. But it talks about the spirit of bondage. I would say that's alive today. The Bible says the devil blinds people's minds so that they can't understand the gospel and be saved. Those people are being, if you will, bound by the spirit of bondage. Then in 1 Corinthians 2, we'll read about another one. And we'll all be familiar with this one, of course. 1 Corinthians 2:12. The Bible says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So he's saying that contrasted to the spirit which is of God, the Holy Spirit, there is the spirit of the world. Well, we know who that is. That's the devil. Because he is the God of this world. And that's the same spirit that's mentioned in Ephesians 2:2. Let's turn over there. You can study these later at home if you'd like. Ephesians 2:2. The Bible says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." This is the devil. He is a spirit as well. We can't see him with our naked eye, but we know he exists and he's real. And he is a spirit. He is the spirit of the world. He is the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. 1 Timothy 4:1 mentions seducing spirits. And then, of course, John here in 1 John 4:3 mentions the spirit of Antichrist. Now, we all know there's going to be the Antichrist during the tribulation period, but that's not what this is talking about. This is the spirit of Antichrist. In other words, against Christ. The spirit that's against Christ. And it's prevalent. Everyone who is not willing to confess the person of Jesus Christ is being led astray by the spirit of Antichrist or against Christ. Because Jesus made it very clear. He said in John 8:24, "If you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." If you're not willing to accept the person of Jesus Christ, His deity, that He is Jehovah, that He is God, and that only God has the power to save us, then you can't be saved. You must believe that there is only one God, and that one God is Jesus, to be saved. So, the Bible mentions, if you go to 1 John 4:2, that we need to beware of the spirits, these false doctrines, we need to beware of false prophets, because he reminds us here in verse 2, and this is, I think it's exciting that we're just randomly walking through 1 John, and the incarnation is mentioned on December 20th. That's pretty cool, isn't it? It says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, for every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Without the incarnation, you don't have the salvation story. You don't have Christianity. It all begins with Jesus Christ coming to earth and becoming a man. That's where it all begins, so that he could die on our behalf. And of course, we'll talk about this on Sunday. And yes, it's a bit of a mystery. It's a bit hard for us maybe to get our heads around, but that doesn't mean it's not true. Because the Bible says it's true. That God became a man that he might die in our place. How could God do such a thing? We'll ask him when we get to heaven. God could do anything. But the incarnation is a fact of Scripture. And just a couple of scriptures that we all know, Isaiah 9:6. "Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." That's Jesus. 1 Timothy 3:16, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." And of course, in Matthew 1, the Bible says his name shall be called what? Emmanuel, which interpreted means God with us. So God became a man and lived 30-some years and then died as our substitute. It says in verse 3, "Every spirit that confesseth not," here in 1 John 4:3, "that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." This is that spirit of Antichrist. It always comes down to the person of Christ. But just a couple of weeks ago, I had someone say, how do you witness to a Jehovah's Witness? You know, it's so confusing. They always want to talk about the kingdom, and they want to talk about blood and transfusions and crazy stuff. I said, just there's only one thing you need to talk about, and that's Jesus. That's it. Because that's the main issue. All this other stuff is extraneous. Until they're willing to understand who Jesus is, they have no hope. So that's all you need to focus on, is the person of Christ. Take them into the Word. Show them Isaiah 9:6. Show them these other scriptures that make it clear that Jesus is Jehovah. And they will eventually get angry and leave, but at least you've had an opportunity to show them some scripture that the Holy Spirit can use. And I said, plus there's a secondary benefit. If you witness to them and show them scripture, they're going to put a black mark by your name, and they're only going to come to your house once a year instead of once every 6 weeks. So there's that too. Anyway, if they're not willing, and when I say they, I mean anyone who's being led by the spirit of Antichrist, I was just using them as an example, God says they are part of the devil's realm. They're being led by the devil's spirit. And as he says there in the end of verse 3, it's already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is already here. Go to Acts chapter 20, if you would, where the Apostle Paul was saying farewell to the elders at Ephesus. And as he did, he mentioned the deity of Jesus Christ and then immediately talked about wolves coming in and trying to undo those teachings. Notice Acts 20:28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Now, you don't have to be an English scholar to understand who the He is in that last phrase. It's referring to God in the previous phrase. So that verse makes it very clear that God shed His blood for man. Amen? Beautiful. Then look at verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Wolves are going to come in who are being led by the spirit of Antichrist. They're going to try to spread false doctrine, false prophecy, and it's going to be focused around Jesus. Because there's one thing the devil hates more than us, and that's Jesus. He hates Jesus the most. He tried to kill Him, right? When He was just a baby. He's tried to thwart God's plan all along. That Jesus would be a descendant of Abraham, that He'd be a descendant of David. He's tried to thwart all of that because He knows the Bible. He hates Christ. That's why He is the spirit of Antichrist. But that spirit then is leading those who reject the person of Jesus. So go back to 1 John and notice chapter 2, verse 18. It says, little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Look at verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. He that denieth the Father and the Son. And then look at 2 John again, verse 7 this time. The Bible says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. We all know that the four Gospels were each written for a different primary purpose. And Matthew was primarily for the Jews, but John was written to the world. And in John's Gospel, Jesus uses the phrase, I am, at least 12 different times to describe Himself. And of course, one of them is John 8:58. He says, I am that I am, referring to Exodus 3, where God met Moses in the bush and said, I am that I am. The great I am. That's Jesus. But Jesus, in the Gospel of John, clearly claims to be God, which means that God came in the flesh, which means that the spirit of Antichrist, that is what they are going to deny the most, is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And isn't it interesting that that's what Christmas is all about? The incarnation of Jesus Christ. That God became a man. So, John says, beware. Because the spirit of Antichrist is, as he says, there are many Antichrists. It's everywhere. It's only going to get worse. The Bible says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse in 2 Timothy 3:13 and deceiving and being deceived. It's just going to get worse. That what is our mission? Try the spirits. When we hear something, line it up with this book. If it doesn't line up with the book, then we reject it. And if it's at our door, we reject it. We oppose it with His word, which is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. But try the spirits. That is our mission. And as Paul said in Ephesians, don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine. And the only way to avoid that is to be grounded in the Word. Study. Show thyself approved. So try the spirits. That's our responsibility. And to tell as many people as we can the good news when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, we talk about man is a sinner and man deserves to go to hell. But when we get to the third point of the gospel, we talk about Jesus died for our sins. Make sure you talk about who Jesus is. That He is God. God in the flesh. That's not just a sticking point. It is the point. That God died for man. So try the spirits. Let's pray.